Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to our final episode of the school year of the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Carlos Martinez, and with me we have
Megan Rickson.
Our guest today is Nick Weatherholt, who is a 2017 GVSU alum, as well as a talent acquisition specialist at Gordon Food Service. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Yeah, and today's episode is all about the job offer, right? We know it's April. Some of you are getting ready to accept your positions, or maybe you've already accepted it and you're going to get some lessons for the next go around. But there's usually a lot of questions that we get, and so we're going to throw some of these at Nick and just take it from there. So, Nick, can you maybe share a bit about what you do, the type of positions you hire for, and kind of how long you've been with GFS?
Of course. So I joined the Gordon Food Service talent acquisition team almost in December of 2017, just at the end of the year. And I actually started as what they call a coordinator. So that's a little more of a support role.
In the HR department.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we fall under the shared services HR sector. And a coordinator, I did a lot of like scheduling support of wherever the recruiters needed help with. When I say recruiter, same thing as a talent acquisition specialist. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of easier to say recruiter.
Yeah.
And we, this past March, I moved up into a specialist role to support our warehouses. So I support our main locations out of Baltimore and out of Boston. And a lot of the positions I recruit for are anywhere from entry-level warehouse roles and then up to director level roles. Mm-hmm. However, there's a lot less turnover at that level.
And so a lot fewer positions, I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I spend a majority of my time doing entry level warehouse selector, packer, high-low driver type roles.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And some folks, especially if they're new to the job search process, might not be too aware about on what the actual role of a recruiter is and how that might differ from the person who will supervise them or actually do that, maybe make that final decision. Can you break that down and how it works with your company?
Yeah, of course. That's a great question. So as a recruiter, we're kind of the point of contact behind the scenes with our hiring managers. So we are behind the talent tracking system, the applicant tracking system, and our job is mainly to review candidates. Well, let me back up a little bit. First, we sit down with hiring managers and figure out exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. And then we make the posting look pretty so we can post it externally. And then we start reviewing candidates. Depending on the position, it could be the next day. If it's a specialized position, it could be weeks down the road. And then we usually phone screen them, so phone interview them and take care of that. If we like them, we move them forward and do the scheduling for the face-to-face interviews with the hiring managers. And then that's where I schedule time for the candidate and the hiring manager to come in and meet. And then from there, the process kind of comes back to our recruiter. Mm-hmm. And if they like them, I prepare the offer and then send out the offer to the candidate directly. And then I usually start the pre-employment testing. Every company is different on what kind of pre-employment testing they do. So I usually kick that off and then our local HR team takes it over from there.
Okay.
So we're the point of contact between the second you apply to usually some way through your pre-employment screening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So nice. And so after someone's gone through the multiple interview phases, right, they rock their resume cover letter as well. And now they're kind of just waiting. Just so you all know, it's very important to keep in mind, like we've said in previous episodes, all of this can vary quite a bit based on the industry you're in, the company you're applying for.
The role.
But and just based on your experience with your company, and it could extend beyond the warehouse roles you support.
Mm-hmm.
What's the general time frame that people are waiting for to get that first initial offer?
Mm-hmm. So to go through the different positions, behind the scenes, our warehouse selectors, which a majority, it's going to be the highest turnover rate in the industry. So we're continuously interviewing for them.
Yeah.
They know within 24 hours if they're getting moved forward or not.
Mm-hmm.
Usually 24 to 48 hours, sometimes a little bit longer, depending on business needs, time of year.
Mm-hmm. But those are roles that don't require a degree, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
Like high school diploma,
yep.
GED.
High school diploma, GED. Mm-hmm. So very entry level.
Yep.
Anyone can do it.
Yep.
It's very hard for us as recruiters to not move people forward in the process mm-hmm. because there's very limited mm-hmm. restrictions. And then, you know, we get into like our leads and our supervisors and managers. Those can take a little bit longer just because there's usually more stakeholders involved on mm-hmm. who's making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of takes me to the next step, which could be multiple interviews as well.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on the role and the complexity of it, think about how high it is up in the company. It's going to take a lot longer for a director level role versus a selector entry level role.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say we try to keep our time to fill is what we call it, under a certain amount, depending on the type of role.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. can range again, a couple weeks to a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
and
so that's, I mean, that's good to hear too, right? Even correct. Within one company, the process is very different.
Yeah.
That's a
yeah.
very good point.
You have to keep in mind, ask yourself how many stakeholders
uh-huh.
are involved. How many people did I interview with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your phone interview is just with one recruiter. I'm making most of the time with one recruiter. I'm making that decision.
Uh-huh.
I have one person to ask myself.
Yeah.
Whereas some of our interviews for directors, you have general managers, you have vice presidents who most likely probably don't even sit in the same area.
Mm.
So it's going to take even longer.
Yeah.
And what are some things that could cause extended delays in that process?
Yep. So I'll break the bad news to you first. if you don't hear back for a really long time, they're probably running pre-employment checks on someone else.
Yeah.
As bad as that sounds.
Sure.
But at the same time, it could be those different, they sit different places. They have different schedules. Us, different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
That all could play into that. So another thing is businesses change every day.
Mm-hmm.
So they might actually be at times reevaluating that role
mm-hmm.
and thinking like, hey, is this what we are really looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And they might come back and be like, unfortunately, this role is no longer available. So that evaluation process could take a while. I'm trying to think what else. It all depends, I guess, on the company and the mm-hmm. business, because like we're really busy in the summer. So mm-hmm. me getting a decision on leadership roles from my directors is very, it takes a little bit longer because I know this is their busiest time, especially along mm-hmm. the East yeah. Coast when the water's opening up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a lot longer to get me answers to me. And our recruiting team is centralized out of our headquarters here. So we don't even see our hiring managers, or we never even see the candidates either.
That has to be a challenge.
It is. It's weird to think about every day that I will probably never see these people I hire.
That is bizarre. Are you mostly communicating on the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So with candidates, it's on the phone with mm-hmm. My business partners, I guess you could call them. It would be mostly email okay. or chat.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah, which actually brings up a really good point that we wanted to talk about. There are different modes of communications, especially when you get into some national, international companies. Like you said, you're in Michigan, but recruiting for positions out in the East Coast, right? It could be phone, email, face-to-face, video conferencing. I've done a variety of all of these when mm-hmm. I've served on search committees in the past. And it can vary a bit, but let's say if someone gets a phone interview, which you do quite a bit of those,
mm-hmm.
is there general etiquette, things that maybe they should keep in mind to excel at those?
Yes. So I like to tell people recruiters are technical, but their hiring managers are a lot more technical.
Mm.
So the hiring managers know exactly what that position is going to be doing. They sure. know exactly what the tools, the mm-hmm. software is, the computers they'll be using, the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So recruiters, I'm looking in my entry level positions for the passion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for that you did your research. You are prepared, of course, doing your mm-hmm. research and also being in like a quiet room and mm-hmm. not having like screaming kids in the background
yep.
or things like that. So I'm looking for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll ask you some job specific questions and there might be the right answer, but I wouldn't say there's a wrong answer to those job specific questions. And then our hiring managers are where it's going to be a lot more technical, a lot more nitty gritty to the point. So again, I'm looking for someone who's in a quiet room. You did your research on the company. Mm-hmm. You're excited about it. You have good, like, not posture, but your
energy.
Your energy's there.
That comes through. Mm-hmm.
But what you said is correct. There are studies that will show if you have proper posture, mm-hmm. that could influence the way you're even speaking.
Smiling
and
helps.
Words.
Right.
All of that will make a difference.
We say smile and dial.
Yeah. Smile and dial.
And that also extends to, you know, the point of conversation today, which is the job offer. Right. Mm-hmm. So when it's, I don't know if you can answer this question, but if you don't, that's okay. Do folks negotiate also for the positions that you hire? Do they?
Not the entry level ones.
Okay.
What about at GFS or just in general, your awareness of like college level recruiting? So bachelor's level candidates.
Any advice on
what's your advice there? I guess
if they have to negotiate over the phone.
Sure.
Right. Cause it's not, in mm-hmm. person, the dynamics shift a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to, again, depend on the role.
Yes.
Because if it's like a buyer mm-hmm. for certain foods,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple different companies in our area we can think of right now probably have buyers, the exact same buyers for the exact same food.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not very specialized. Maybe the exact day-to-day is specialized, but mm-hmm. the position overall is not.
Yep.
But if we have someone coming in for like some IT roles, you mm-hmm. know, MIT is really big here. So those kind of roles that are specialized, there's a little more leeway to negotiate there, especially if you go through that certification. I can't
sure. think SAP.
The SAP
certification. Yes. Academy. It's happening right now.
Is it really?
Well, back in August. Is terrible. It? Yes.
If you go through like that, that's going to give you a little more pulling power.
Uh-huh.
To negotiate that. So it all depends on the role. I'm trying to think of what else. You know, again, that's what GFS, we have some very specialized roles. We're looking mm-hmm. for very specific mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. We're willing to pay relocation mm-hmm. For, but again, it has to be super specialized because there's probably a lot more candidates behind you
mm-hmm.
that might not have all you have, but they're going to meet the budget of the company.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And the key things you mentioned are very important. So research, you know, proper posture, you want to seem informed and you want to demonstrate that you actually have an interest in the company. It's not just a generic role you're applying for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of that will play a role if your goal is to negotiate certain aspects of that offer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are there any things that you think a candidate should consider before accepting an offer? You already mentioned one, which is possible relocation
mm-hmm.
Help.
Yep. So relocation help, I would say, comes in even more specialized than negotiating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, even entry-level roles right out of college is not requiring much experience, maybe a bachelor's degree with no experience.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably not going to relocate you. But again,
meaning you might be able to move to a different location.
Yep.
They're just not going to cover the cost to make that happen.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yep. And that's something you want to make very clear at the beginning.
Right. Right.
And make sure
moving is expensive.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very expensive. And then also, so that's relocating.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remind me of the question?
The question were things to consider before accepting a job offer.
Okay. Some small things that I kind of took into consideration is your commute.
Sure.
So excited to get an offer at a brand new company.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to sign the offer letter the second they give it to me. Mm-hmm. But you want to take into consideration a commute,
mm-hmm.
the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily when I came into a position, I didn't really need flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many outside factors other than work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking classes anymore at night. So yep. I just kind of went into it. But now that I see the flexibility that they have gave me, it's definitely going to play a role as well in the position. So like we have work from home days.
Mm-hmm.
We have come in late, mm-hmm. stay late kind of ideas. So as long as it makes sense, I might take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Benefits are huge. I know, especially with healthcare costs rising.
Yes.
Ours luckily start after 30 days. A lot of companies are 60 or even 90.
Okay.
So that's huge.
That's
how
good information
soon
to know.
Mm-hmm. How soon do you need those?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you need?
Mm-hmm.
that kind of leads me back a little bit to the negotiation aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Included in benefits is going to be your vacation time.
Right.
If maybe they're not going for the extra couple thousand dollars, ask them about vacation. So ask them if that's something you can negotiate. But again, back to your question is, how much vacation time are they giving you?
Mm-hmm.
Is it accrued quarterly? Do you have to work a whole year before you get any vacation time?
Right.
How soon, I guess what I'm getting to is how soon all of those benefits start.
Mm-hmm.
Is something you want to consider. That's a lot of things that thought of.
Yeah, we like to call it that total compensation package mm-hmm. sometimes. And there's a lot more than that pay you're going to get, you know, a few times a month.
Salary is just one of the numbers, one of the components.
You know, when mm-hmm. I was trying to determine where to work after college, I accepted the position with Grand Valley in the admissions office. But one of the biggest reasons was when I found out that I can get my master's paid for, right? So even though I could have gotten a higher salary somewhere else, mm-hmm. when I really mm-hmm. crunched the numbers down and I looked at all the overall benefits, I would get a lot more out of that, you mm-hmm. know, employment with this university. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't even in my mind until someone else brought it up. One of my mentors brought it up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And from then, I always make sure to point that out to folks who I'm working with as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Total compensation is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you factor in, since you're in multiple states, cost of living?
Yes.
How does that get factored in?
So it does. I can tell you it's very expensive to live in Boston.
I'm sure.
I don't know the details of how it's factored mm-hmm. in, but I see it in our pay scales.
Okay.
And how each, like even the selector roles I recruit for, they range from, you know, Michigan, we're in Texas and Florida, all the way up to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Boston is the highest paying one that we have. So it's factored in.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, I guess, on the location and the role. Mm-hmm. So, you know, someone with more experience might come in and, you know, not necessarily take into effect the cost of living because of the job
mm-hmm.
that they're just taking.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some people, that's like a huge factor into mm-hmm. it. Like they're going to sit down and crunch the numbers. I don't remember what the scale is called, but there's like a universal scale out there where, like, I think Grand Rapids is like 0.9 or something and Washington, D.C. is like 1.9.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
There's a lot of different calculations you can do
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. And there are websites that mm-hmm. will help you with that. One I've used with students before is payscale.com.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can basically say, here's the type of role I've been going for. I'm looking at one in Grand Rapids and I'm looking at one in LA. And oh my goodness,
mm-hmm.
that could be a, you know, $10,000, $20,000 difference on an entry level role per year, potentially, just because everything, your rent or mortgage or whatever, everything's just going to be so much higher.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, 60,000 in one place, you might as well be making 35,000 in another.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So it makes a huge mm-hmm. difference mm-hmm. what you can save, you know,
for sure.
Now, when discussing a job offer with someone, are there any maybe red flags, things that would turn you away from that candidate at that job offer stage, or maybe push you away, make you rethink if you make that decision? I'm not sure if I phrased that correctly.
I think I know what you're getting at. So there are some things that I get asked, like right off the bat, he's like, I want 30 days of vacation.
Yeah.
I want my benefits to start right away. And just right there, you're kind of like, okay. So to me, I'm like, does he fully understand that, like, benefits and vacation, that's a set system for us.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain roles that can negotiate like vacation and stuff, but the time that it starts is going to be set. So, mm-hmm. you know, when they start specifically asking about those very nitty gritty details,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it makes me think they're only in it for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily in it for the role.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like I go back, I know I said earlier that those are huge factors in when making a decision if you want to accept an offer or not. But there's a fine line between being too detailed on those versus, you know, mm-hmm. wanting the whole position and the company as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So other red flags, like I said, the vacation time, don't ask for a whole month off before we even make you an offer.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about, like, with college students specifically, can you think, like, let's say they got an offer early in their senior year and then their grades tanked or something like that. Are those factors that can come into play?
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if necessarily what the minimums would be for that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if they would check again at the end
sure.
of the season.
Yeah.
They might put that in your offer letter.
Sure.
There might be provisions in the offer letter sure. saying, hey, you need to pass with a 4.0.
So read the entire offer letter.
Read the entire offer letter yeah. and the email it comes in. So uh-huh. there's a lot of like details that I think that get overlooked.
But what are some mm-hmm. of those things they might find in an offer letter?
Yeah.
That's that common knowledge.
So the first thing that's probably going to show up is the pay. Mm-hmm. Well, the first little welcome to Gordon Food Service
yeah.
or
yeah.
welcome to our company.
Sure, sure.
Paragraph. And then it's probably going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then vacation. And then it should jump into like benefits or something like that. And then it should, if there's any like relocation or provisions to your offer, maybe a sign-on bonus.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to be there for at least 2 years
mm-hmm.
Or else you're going to be paying that sign-on bonus back.
Mm-hmm.
And then it should wrap up usually with some form of next steps. Mm-hmm. Is the recruiter going to reach out again? Is local HR going to reach out? Who's going to reach out to start your pre-employment checks?
Mm-hmm.
I know a majority of our companies today are going to be running at least a background check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If not more. So who's going to be reaching out next?
Mm-hmm.
I can only speak for us, and our offer letters come in an email that has like a body paragraph to it. And there's actually a link in there to our online system where you have to accept it on there.
Hmm.
So that offer letter mm-hmm. email has the next step details in it.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That's kind of a little different right there. So
mm-hmm.
keep an eye on, you know, some people are so excited to click that link and accept mm-hmm. the job and move on, but there's a lot of little things in there.
Mm-hmm.
And something that's very important to keep in mind as a candidate is that if you discuss something verbally, but there's something different on that offer letter, it's what you signed that counts legally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could have been a mistake, but now you've accepted, you've officially accepted it, right? So if they agree to give you 3 extra vacation days, but it's not in that offer letter, then it's, they can do it, but it's technically they're not required to anymore mm-hmm. once you've accepted it formally.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's that offer letter becomes your legal document.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So the backup, I think a little bit on the process.
Mm-hmm.
Your hiring manager, so you're probably your direct supervisor that you'll be working for, will most likely call and offer you the job.
Mm-hmm.
You'll accept it from them verbally, and then they'll tell the recruiter, yes, give it to them. They want to accept it, and then I send the recruiter would send the offer. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely that room for a few mistakes here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've came across situations where I know of individuals who have gotten the offer rescinded because maybe, I don't know if over negotiated is a proper term, and pretty much the company said, I think there's too big of a gap between what you're expecting and what we're able to offer you
mm-hmm.
and kind of they back out on their end. And so that's a real possibility. That's where kind of what Nick talked about earlier, and I keep mentioning, which is your research is key. If you ask for anything, it should be based on the value you're bringing to the table. If it's salary wise, it should be based on specific data, cost mm-hmm. of living, comparable salaries based on your research, or based on if the company has salary information public, which some will. All of those are things that you can use as kind of conversation points when you want to negotiate.
Mm-hmm. Negotiating mm-hmm. is going to be big with the facts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not, I feel I deserve this. It's not good enough.
Yes.
Right.
And
right.
on that as well, LinkedIn does a really good job of LinkedIn salary.
Yeah.
So that I hear LinkedIn more and more every single day. And they do a really good job. That's usually user reported as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation there is use it. And then also try to make your job title that you're going for a little more vague because mm-hmm. you might get more data.
Okay.
Like, I'm a talent acquisition specialist. I called it a recruiter. So there's a couple different titles people could go mm-hmm. with.
Yep.
Talent acquisition partners, because we're technically a partner to the hiring managers.
Mm-hmm.
So I take a look at that. Also, if I could throw this in there. LinkedIn also does premium for free for 30 days.
Yes.
So if you sign up for that, remember to cancel it though, or else you're going to be charged a lot of money.
I've done it like 3 times.
So I when I was back in the job hunt, I was using that as well.
Yeah, that's great because it allows you to reach out to more people mm-hmm. directly, mm-hmm. more access to information. Yeah.
And just make sure it's comparable, right? So if you're looking up salaries for a recruiter in New York, it's not going to be comparable to Grand Rapids or to, you know, Iowa. Right. So if you're going to compare New York, compare maybe to LA, to DC, another mm-hmm. city that's relatively expensive. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. then it might be at least a little bit closer in the numbers you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
I wanted to go back to one thing you said in terms of the hiring manager calling to offer the position. Mm-hmm. Do you recommend, I guess, what's your recommendation? You get that first phone call from that hiring manager that says, hey, we'd love to offer you this. You want to see that job offer, that package first. Mm-hmm. How do you approach that?
So I would be completely open to mm-hmm. them at that point because technically you're on their team now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd be completely open with them, be like, hey, I appreciate things in writing. Sounds great over the phone. Mm-hmm. Would I be able to get it in writing?
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Then from there, I know I prefer everything in writing so mm-hmm. I can think about it for a while.
Right.
From there, I'd probably go to the hiring manager. The hiring manager would go to the recruiter, and then the recruiter could probably send it to you in an offer letter yep. and an email. So I think just be open with them.
Sure.
And be like, yeah. hey, I appreciate things in writing.
Like, thank you so much for this offer. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting.
Yes.
Can I also just take a look?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that enthusiasm that I was talking uh-huh. about in the phone interview at the beginning, mm-hmm. you need to carry that all the way through.
Yes. Because then you had your first impression in an interview, but yes. now you might actually be the team member.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to be the Debbie Downer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's a good way to put
it. It's an interesting dynamic because see my offer. You're telling them, the offer's not adequate yet, but you still want to show them, I'm still really excited. Exactly. This is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. I just need you to meet me a little closer to mm-hmm. where, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm thinking is necessary for this role here.
Right. And is that the negotiation then happening with you as the recruiter most of the time?
It can go either way.
Okay.
I've seen it in both
ways. All right. So tell me about that.
So I think depending on how prepared you are mm-hmm. to get that phone call out of the blue.
Oh, sure.
Might allow you to do it right then and mm-hmm. there, but also you want to see it in writing. So you might be able to see the entire, like we talked about, the total compensation package on that letter.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it go through the hiring manager.
So you might just call the hiring manager back after receiving that from the recruiter?
You might.
Okay.
Because your payroll is coming from their budget.
Yeah.
So the recruiter, we're like in the middle, like we want you to get the job. We also want the hiring manager to keep their budget on track.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to mm-hmm. try to make it, but it can go to the recruiter. It can go to the hiring manager.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's going to go to the hiring manager.
Sure.
So I think I've also seen it where they've come to us for almost the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's because we're the first phone number they find.
Right.
Or if they just can't find the hiring manager's phone number.
So best practice would be to call the hiring manager back? Okay.
Yep. Because it's ultimately going to come out of them. Yep. But also, you know, if you felt that interview went really well,
mm-hmm.
First of all, make sure you pick up unknown numbers. Calls from unknown numbers. And second, mm-hmm. I'd be prepared the second you leave that interview or start preparing that if they were to call and offer it to you, what exactly do you need? You know, talk to your wife, talk to your husband, talk to your whoever's a key holder or stakeholder in what you're doing.
Right, the roommate you need to move out of the house.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Your landlord if you have to break
your
a lease.
Your landlord, sure, right.
So I would talk to all those people so you can mm-hmm. be a lot more prepared when they call.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how fast they're moving, you might mm-hmm. not have enough time to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it all plays a factor in it.
Okay, so now I'm stepping on your toes, Carlos, because you got the list of questions, but what in terms of...
go for it.
Yeah, these let's say questions. You have multiple offers or you have you're currently interviewing with multiple companies and you might need some time to make a decision.
Yes.
What are your thoughts there?
So I know I keep giving you this answer, but it's...
Are you going to say it depends?
It can matter.
Which is the answer to everything in the world, I'm pretty sure, but yeah. Okay, yeah.
It can play a role as to, again, how specialized the position is. And also, you, I guess a candidate, you probably won't know this, mm-hmm. but how long they've been recruiting on it.
Mm.
So I think if you're going to be shuffling a few different offers, you need to get a feel for the how the hiring managers are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Because on the good side, they could easily ask you, what do you need to say yes? So mm-hmm. they'll flat out say to the candidate, what do you need to say yes to this offer?
Mm-hmm.
And that puts you in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm.
However, if there's those second and third place candidates that they're more than willing to make an offer to, they could give you like a day to make a decision before you hear back from maybe your dream company.
Sure.
So
what's an appropriate amount of time to ask for?
I was thinking about this earlier today. If it comes on like a Monday, mm-hmm. I would not put it past Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
Because think about what they're thinking you're doing. So as a mm-hmm. candidate, they call and offer you the job Monday. You'll be home by 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably see people who are going to be a key player in you accepting that offer.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could potentially have them an answer Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't push it back like a Monday to a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to be thinking about how long does it take you to talk to those key holders.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if I mentioned earlier, you have to go to a landlord to see about breaking a lease.
Mm-hmm.
Might take a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also be open with the companies that haven't offered you something yet, following up, being persistent, being like, hey, mm-hmm. I had this other offer, because that could also put you in another really good position. They'd be like, oh my gosh, hold on, we'll get you this offer. So
and then you can hopefully mm-hmm. decide between
yes
the multiple offers. Okay.
Yeah, which was I think you just answered one of my other questions, which would be if company B makes you an offer, and you're waiting on Gordon Food Service, which is your A plan, to get back to you. How would you communicate that to the recruiter at Gordon Food Service? How would you navigate that? Do you actually say, hey, I've got an offer over here, which I really want to work with you, but so mm-hmm. how would you, I don't know if you've encountered it, but how would you navigate that or advise somebody to navigate it?
Yeah, of course. So I personally had never encountered that.
Okay.
What I would do though is I would first contact that recruiter of company B
mm-hmm.
that you've already got the offer right from.
Yes, yes. Okay. They made the offer.
So I'd first go to them and be like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm going to think about this offer for a while or for however long I just told you to. And then they might tell you right then and there, come back and let us know by date X or date Y.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go back to Gordon Food Service, your dream company, and be like, hey, is there any update? I am entertaining another offer. But don't necessarily tell them that exact timeline mm-hmm. because they might wait till the very end. You know, they might wait a couple extra days just to make sure they have all the details ironed out. Mm-hmm. So it's quite the game.
Yeah. It becomes a little tricky game.
Extremely hard when you don't have like, you know, exact details, right. You know? So I would just honestly be honest with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your best option. If one of them pulls their offer, wasn't meant to be. So
mm-hmm.
When I worked with someone in a similar situation, what we ended up doing was he negotiated a very small, like maybe just like $2,000 salary increase.
Mm-hmm.
But that bought him a couple of days because the recruiter had to talk to the hiring manager. When they came back and said yes, but something else, then the candidate said, okay, let me go and talk with I don't know if it was mm-hmm. his wife or one of the key persons in their life. But then instead of having to wait from that Monday to Tuesday, it extended to an entire week. And in that time, he got the offer from the other company.
It's mm-hmm. a really good idea.
So mm-hmm. it bought him time. But even if that other company, that company A, didn't make him the offer, he still negotiated better conditions for that other company, which he did also like as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so negotiating better conditions while also waiting, so that it won't always work, because like you said, timing and the needs of each company will play a big role in this also.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh yeah,
for sure.
Would you hire this intern?
All right, should we go for
it? Yeah, we're going there now. So okay. We have a little segment here. I'll let Megan explain.
All right, so our regular listeners will be aware of our Would You Hire this segment by this point in the year. But Nick, I'm going to give you a little scenario about an intern who's doing some things. And you let us know what you think and if you would hire this intern.
Got it.
Okay. So your new intern has designed these amazing flyers to promote your next company event. Unfortunately, it seems like every time he prints off a new set, the copier jams and your intern just leaves it that way. This is occurring daily. When you talk to him about it, he says he's sorry, but continues to break the copier and leave it that way for someone else to fix. Would you hire this intern?
Probably not.
All right.
Because he didn't learn from the feedback.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
he doesn't seem coachable at all.
Mm-hmm.
And a copier, like, it's a pretty big thing in the office. Like if it was his keyboard that only he used, mm-hmm. or, you know, something else that he only used.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. That's kind of his loss. Mm-hmm. But the copier makes a loss for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. probably not if he's not, I don't see that he's coachable.
Right. And I think the key there was you would have given him, you gave him the chance, right?
Yep. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's talk mm-hmm. about it when oh, you see yeah. the behavior.
Mm-hmm. That's key.
Yeah, that's definitely key. Okay, now we'll do a twist. So the positive twist would be, while he's still leaving it jammed, he started to leave notes that say he tried fixing it, but was unable to, with an apology and a sad face. Would that help?
I don't think so. I think he... I probably still wouldn't hire him.
Yeah.
I think he would need to go to like his boss or the IT department and like take
handle
initiative.
Handle it? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Handle it would be a good way to put it.
Right.
So if he's not going to take initiative, is he going to take initiative on like the projects I give him moving forward?
Absolutely.
He did a great job on the flyers, but
right.
will he leave you a sad face right. too for the project?
Right.
You don't want
right.
to get to your like event for that you need the flyers for and then be like, here's a sticky note with a sad face on it.
Totally. Totally.
I think I would give that intern some extra coaching for the duration of that internship. But for similar reasons, I think I'd lean towards not hiring.
Mm-hmm.
But I would probably make sure that the person grows while they're an intern still.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they learn to contact IT on their own by the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now they're a step closer to getting hired maybe on a future time.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. And right. I'm sure that he probably had, again, five other candidates behind him
mm-hmm.
that... An internship is a time for you to prove yourself.
For sure. And
so he's not proving himself.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Nick, any parting words, any last things you'd like to share at all?
Oh, I don't think so. I think we covered it all. I've thrown it in there. My yeah. LinkedIn recruiter spurt.
So yeah, nice. That's great. There that was go. A really good tip.
So Lakers, thanks again for joining us another school year. We will catch you back again in September. Enjoy your summer.